Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. Your hosts for today, Ivan Pineda, Christian Rosendo, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Let's start the show.
Welcome back to the Eagle Eye Podcast. Welcome to our Lady Aguila Zone here on the podcast. We'll be talking all things America Femenil. We're going to be recapping that 2-1 victory against Toluca and how it was a little shaky, but 3 points is still 3 points at the end of the day. And we're also going to be recapping the game against FC Juarez and that 1-0 victory on the road. But as always, let me introduce today's co-host. It is Brooklyn's very own Mr. AJ. AJ, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking, Ivan. It's been a pretty exciting Thursday for me. Finally passed all my driver's exam, so I got a driver's license now.
Well, congratulations. Big shout out to AJ for getting his driver's license. Now he's going to be able to drive Cowboy Dan anywhere he needs to. So I'm sure Dylan is excited to hear that as we are. But yeah, hey, we're here talking Lady Aguilas once again. Going to be recapping that game against FC Juarez. It probably wasn't the biggest entertaining match, but it's something to highlight as well. And then, of course, we're going to be recapping what we just saw earlier today, which was that game against Toluca, where the ladies ended up coming up with a big, big victory, which also secured our spot in the playoffs. All right, AJ, you ready to talk?
I'm ready whenever you are.
All righty, then. Well, let's get right into this because I mean, it's been quite a hectic week for our ladies. I mean, we're talking a quick turnaround after Monday's game. We just had one. It feels like not just too long ago we were watching them play at Juarez. I mean, it's been all over the place today for America Femenil, right? But let's go and let's talk at the beginning. That was FC Juarez. So America came into this game after a couple of results not going our way. We knew that the form wasn't there, although fortunately for us, there was kind of a gap. There was a break in between. And because of that, I think we were able to see a much better America Femenil side, which we didn't feel the strongest one because we still had some players out. But talk to me a little bit more how you felt after the victory against Juarez.
I mean, not impressed, but I am happy with the 3 points overall. But it's just one of those games where it's like we're playing against a side that's struggling throughout the entire season. We decided to then set out some players to give others a chance, and we still could not break through. Like, we couldn't give them a goleada, like a 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, like we've done against Necaxa and Mazatlan. So it just makes you start to worry slightly to, like, what are we really trying to do here? But at the same time, it could be another part of Guerra's experience where he's just putting different players left and right, trying to rest them, which I understand because we have important upcoming matches. But at the same time, it's like, why are we trying to throw the flow right now when we're on the brink of getting into the Liga? So it's just, I'm glad we got the 3 points, but was it like a result where I'm like, yes, we're back in it, like we're getting back to our usual selves? That's up for debate.
It definitely wasn't the best display from our ladies, and I was able to catch, well, most of second half because I was tweeting about it, but I was able to catch a little bit of first half, and I was trying to sneak it out in my phone, trying to watch, saying, okay, I think I can sneak away with this, but I wasn't liking anything that I was looking at. And I think you mentioned right too, AJ, the fact that we had just so many players that we had to kind of just utilize in different positions. Me and you were just talking about this before we even started recording, is the fact that, you know, we saw Hanna playing in that left back role position, right? Something that she naturally is used to because that's kind of where she started. But it's not natural for us to see her in that position since we're so used to her being a little bit more on the attacking side of things. And I mean, you just saw a lot of things just kind of being shifted for this side. Though, whilst it wasn't the prettiest of games, and whilst you mentioned that, AJ, it wasn't our glamorous usual self, at the end of the day, it's 3 points. It was very nippy at the end because it got close to them almost leveling it up if it wasn't for Renata Masciarelli's amazing save towards the end of the game that really kept us in it. I mean, you're talking about brilliant individual performances that have been kind of bringing America Femenil and getting them this results. It hasn't really been a collective unit that has gone out there and won the points. It's mostly we've relied on individual performances to really get us past the finish line. What does that really say about this team right now in this moment where we're just three games away from the end of the regular season?
once again, just worrisome because it's the soccer is a game where it's not just only about individual performance, but it's a team-based sport. But then seeing this, that how we have to rely on individual play kind of shows one of America's weaknesses, in which they have to usually rely on players individually who can really make or break it into this match. Like examples like Dani Espinosa, Montserrat Hernandez, Cassandra Cuevas, like players like that show that they can make or break in any America game. They can make the difference, whether it's providing a goal or making an assist to another player that allows them to get the goal. So it's just one of those instances where it's just like, we talked about this before. You're like, even with America, like even they don't have like the bases that they really needed to make in their starting 11 or to win games, like they're still capable. I think we're still capable. There's times it's like we look dodgy, just don't look like our usual selves. It's just, I don't know. Especially when it's against a side like FC Juarez. No discredit to them, that they done their very best to try to frustrate America and try to get back into this game, which didn't happen at the very end. But it's just like, I feel like America really should have been taking advantage of a game like this where we could just be scoring goals on them left and right. So
it was kind of this weird type of game, because at the beginning, right, we from the get-go take the game to Juarez, and because of that you see a very doubtful penalty given to us after Jhené gets kind of taken down by the goalkeeper. We're not going to decide whether or not at the end of the day it was called. And I think this is really where you start to see kind of this kind of this kind of momentum shift for America and morale kind of go from a really high to a really low in such a quick amount of time, because you're talking minutes within the play. So obviously Jhené gets the call, Jhené steps up, Jhené takes it and goes wide of the mark, and of course then heads start going down. I don't think Jhené ever recuperated from that miss. She just wasn't herself after that. Just didn't look like it was her game, which is unfortunate, because I think this was definitely piggybacking off the Monterrey game, right, where she gave away the penalty, and it was kind of like, okay, here I am again in this situation where I've let my team down. And I think her head just kind of went down, and you saw it from the moment that she missed that penalty, that her face said it all, right, that she was just in shock and very disappointed in herself. Teammates try to cheer her up, but I don't think she ever kind of recuperated from that, which is unfortunate, because I really do think if she was on her night and if she scores that penalty, we're talking about a whole different scoreline, AJ. We know how crucial early goals are for America Feminine. We know how they like to build on momentum like that. And the fact that we didn't get it, and I think we talked about this in previous episodes, is the fact that when this America Feminine side starts not putting away their chances, we start giving the opposition the chance to kind of settle into the game and grow and all that stuff, then that's when you see this America Feminista start to struggle and trying to not only contain the team, but to kind of start developing and playing something that they're comfortable with and confident with as well. So it was that unfortunate thing. I just, fortunately, the goal act comes a little bit later down the road, but at the end of the day, it's not like we had the most of chances in the second half either, because we didn't. We were very lacklustrous. And I think that penalty miss definitely tilted the tide in favor of FC Juarez rather than us.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I feel like just Jhené just had been having a couple bad string of games, like talking back to the mistake that she committed against Rayadas. And then in this FC Juarez case, and keep in mind, right before the penalty happened, she did happen to score a goal, but then it was flagged for offside, which I was really happy just to see Jhené score her second goal of the season, and then only for it to get called offside. I'm like, okay, penalty happens. I'm like, here's the redemption. And then for her to then just send that ball all the way to the right, I just feel like I felt really bad at that point. I'm just like, it's really unfortunate. Like you mentioned, it did take a toll, and I feel like it did take a toll on the team as a whole, because like you mentioned, we get that early goal, I feel like that's when the floodgates are going to pretty much open, and then we could just start scoring goals. That goal didn't came until the 40 minute with the goal from Cassandra Cuevas, which I would like to highlight as well. Zaira Moreno is her first start this season for America Feminine, only 16 years of age, and she provided an amazing tour, so I give her credit for that. But other than that, then at that point, it just seemed like it was difficult, because I think Guerra even mentioned, I'm not Guerra, my bad, Hugo Ruiz, who was the substitute manager since Guerra was out due to having to be isolated from COVID. But he even mentioned, like, it was a bit scary because we were letting FC Juarez get more shots on us than we would like to. So it's just one of those things as well where we were just worried. And just America fans as a whole were just, like, wondering what is going on. How are we letting a team like Juarez just get so many shots on us? Thankfully, we had players like Justin Rogel and our goalkeeper, Renata Masciarelli, who were really big. But at the same time, it's one of those things, like, it just makes you start to worry ahead if we're going to let teams like this just get shots after shots after shots on us and scare us. It's like, how's it going to be in the Liga, considering how, knowing how scary these upcoming teams are going to be against us? And now they're seeing how other teams are just able to just frustrate and make up by just getting shots after shots on them. So they could probably take advantage of this. So it's just kind of worrisome just to see.
It is a bit worrisome because we mentioned so much about this depth of this side, and we thought, okay, we have a really good team. If a couple players go out, then a couple players go out. But we should have enough talent at our disposal to be able to substitute them, plug them into the starting 11, and really see no difference. Well, it hasn't really paid to be that at all, because, you know, we've gone through various formations. We've gone through various different lineups. And whilst, you know, we could sit here and criticize Cuellar, which he, I think, has a lot of blame in some of these games where we haven't played at our best. At the end of the day, the resilience of these ladies to come out with the victory, I think, says it all, right? It was very poor in the second half, AJ. Why do you think it was that? Do you think the girls just kind of settled into this game and thought, you know what, we can keep this team at bay and we don't really have to overwork ourselves? Or was it just the fact that they were tired because they haven't been playing in a while, and it was a road game too, the travel? I mean, what really sat to you and made you think that the second half wasn't what it was?
I feel that's a bunch of different factors, as you mentioned. Could just be the traveling. Maybe it could just be them just settling in right to the side just after getting the first goal, which we should always say, the game is never really over until the final minute is done and the whistle has been blown. So it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things, like, they shouldn't really get themselves so comfortable. A 1-0 lead, it's not a comfortable lead. Sure, you are leading, but it's one of those things you can think to yourself, let's extend this lead more to get us into a comfortable lead. And then maybe from that point on, you can then maybe start to relax a bit and then take out some of the players that have been playing throughout all those minutes and just swap them out for others just to give them some time. It's one of those things I kind of maybe feel like maybe they just decided to settle in and be like, we'll be fine. And then, know how the second half was, America were given a scare with FC Juarez getting shots after shots on us, even mentioned by Ruiz himself. So it's just one of those things. It's like they shouldn't allow things like this to happen. And I feel like with a big team like America, knowing how they can be really deadly on the offense, I felt they should have just capitalized on just continuously scoring goals. But like I said, maybe it was just an off night for the midfielders and forwards up front, because we're playing a 4-2-3-1. You're having Molina up front. There was no Dani Espinosa. So it's not the case that where you're going to see just Dani just being able to just attack players left and right, like one-on-one. We had Dalia Molina, which I feel like she's not explosive as Dani, but she could definitely get herself something going. But at the same time, we didn't have players like Monse who can deliver the cross and then try to head it. And we had players like Janae who was not having like the greatest time of her night, especially after the penalty miss. Riding Camp, I don't really know. It's just, once again, on the right wing position, I'm just kind of like, I don't understand like why we're continuously putting her in a position where I feel like she is not completely grasped the position yet. So it's just like, I don't know what to say. Gus Cuevas, I would say, she doesn't have a good game. And I feel like if anything, maybe we could have shifted her up front because she's originally a forward instead of a center attacking mid. So we could have done something right there. But just, I don't know. Just, it's one of those games, like I said before, I'm like, it wasn't really a satisfying win, to say the least. But it's like, we got the job done at the end of the day.
Now, would you agree if I was to tell you that this was a very America B side team that was facing against Juarez? I mean, granted, with everything that, you know, we have going on in regards to the injuries and players being out, but it was a very much a very side B for you?
I'd say it's a side B for the most part, just despite like with the defense mostly looking like that you'd see on the A team, but for the most part, it was pretty much just B team at that point. So yeah, you're right on that part.
So then, okay, so then we'll run with that and then and say that, okay, with America going away to Juarez, playing a B-side because you're resting your players because you know you have a quick turnaround and you have a big game against Toluca, you rest some of your bigger name players and you still walk away with 3 points. I mean, 3 points is still 3 points. Granted, at the end of the day, you know, we can talk and criticize all of how all we want about this Juarez game and how, you know, poor the display was on the pitch. At the end of the day, the ladies walk out with 3 points, and that's what I think matters. You know, I mean, is there anything really much to add on that?
There's not really much else, like I said. Because,
yeah, we can sit here and we know that some of these players are going to have to be starters because of the mm-hmm. injuries and because we know how the rotation, how much Cuellar likes to, you know, play around with the rotation game. I don't know, is between Cuellar or Juan Carlos Osorio that make the most rotations I've ever seen in my life. But we know that these ladies have to come up and step up big in these moments, and games like this are very good to have under their belt. And yes, this wasn't their best game, but hopefully after playing these type of games and kind of going back and saying, okay, I didn't have my best of game, but at least I know where I can improve. And you can go out and then maybe in the playoff game when you get substituted in or you have to play from the get-go, then at least you have that and say, okay, I can build on from what I had before previously and work my way up in this game. And that's what hopefully these ladies can walk away and grasp out of it. But let's move away from Juarez and let's jump over, fast forward to today. Earlier today, not about, what would you like, about a good 5 hours ago or a little bit more, the America Femenil was at Toluca, traveled all the way to the Estado de Mexico to go and play against Toluca in what I thought was going to be the Estadio Nemesio Díaz, but apparently it was one of the canchas, which was interesting because usually the Femenil Toluca always playing in the Estadio Nemesio Díaz, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. Why they played there, I don't know. We don't follow Toluca like that, so we won't be able to tell you. But I will tell you this much, AJ. It was another worrisome game. Ladies went down a goal, and we know that usually when that happens, we don't get to see the best display of football ever. But before we talk and start criticizing a little bit more about how these ladies played, let's actually talk about the team that was displayed on the pitch. So if you do have the starting 11 with you, and I will ask you for you to bring that up in just a second, talk to me because there was a lot of more heavy rotations in positions I was not expecting. For starters, the goalkeeper spot. Renata Mazzarelli sees that she is not going to be on the starting 11. I don't even think she made the bench, correct? Or did she?
Yeah, she was on the bench.
She was on the bench. Okay, well, she sees that she makes the bench. Acuña gets the start. I mean, just read out right now the starting 11 that we had, and then I'll go and ask you your questions on not just the goalkeeper position, which is something that I really want to talk about, but just overall different positions that we saw different players being played in.
All right. So at goalkeeper, we had Natalia Acuña starting, and our back four consists of Selena Valera on the left back position. Our two center backs are Ana Gaby Lozada and Jocelyn Orejel. Our right backs, Monica Rodriguez. And the midfield four, we have on the right mid side, Dalia Molina. Our two CMs are Cassandra Cuevas, Eva Gonzalez. Our left mid is Hannah Gutierrez. And then our two forwards up front are Marlene Campa and Daniela Espinosa.
Okay, so let's go and dissect that formation just for a second. One, we're still putting Marlene Campa. We're still putting Cassandra Cuevas in the midfielder spot, correct?
Yes, we are.
Which is, it continues to baffle me. I don't know why we continue to put her in that spot. You know, if a Jen Munoz is in there, does Jen start over her and we see Cassandra maybe up top or on one of the wings? That's potentially something, right? But that's not what we had. So it's still interesting to see that Cassandra Cuevas is playing there. We just talked about Acuña taking the starting goalkeeper spot against Renata Mazzarelli. And then Hannah being played in that left winger spot rather than a Montserrat Hernandez, which was featured later on in the game. So let's talk a little bit more about that. And AJ, first, let's start off in the goalkeeper spot because I think this is a very interesting one. Why the constant rotation for Cuellar in this position?
I don't know. It's confusing. It's like every time, like when you predict, like what's my starting 11? He's like, I don't know, because I feel like Garza is looking at the puck. He's like, psych, I'm not putting that up. You thought I'm putting these players up. But
I feel like Cuellar just has like a kind of like a little bit of Russian roulette in his office. Like he just has like a wheel of every player in their position. And he's like, all right, who's starting today? And he just spins it. And he says, okay, Acuña, you're in goal today. So it's just, it's, I don't know. It's very confusing because, I mean, I'm putting myself in their shoes, right? As a player, if you're having the game of your lives, which is what Renata Mazzarella has been having since taking that number one spot from JD, I don't want to let go of that. You know, I don't care if we're playing against a very, very weak rival, which, by the way, Toluca is no weak rival whatsoever. So I don't know why Boyar decided to put in Acuña and trying to give her more minutes. I mean, this is really not the stage to be messing around with your starters. I mean, you're just four games away from the Liguilla, and you're still trying to, you know, kind of move pieces here and there, but you should have at least a solid defense by now. And the fact that the defenders don't know who their starting goalkeeper is going to be, that's what worries me the most.
So, like, look, if the Copa MX 70 was still a thing, not like from the very beginning, it would make sense for Guerra to be making this many rotations. So you could have a team for the Copa MX 70 and then from the league. But when you're constantly rotating players, when we're this far at the end of the season, you should already have a starting 11 that you're like, this is what I'm going with every single game. At best, maybe I'll just switch one or two players in a position, and that's about it. But Guerra, he's like, nah, I still want to just, you know, experiment, see what we can do, which it's going to bite us really hard. That's all I'm going to say. If when it comes to like either Clásicos and the Liguilla, maybe it's an idea for him trying to throw a curveball at the team, but the problem is, I feel this curveball wouldn't really work if, one, we don't really have a definite play style. Two, these players are not consistently playing. So those are the things I'm just not understanding. Like, it's like as if you're putting in the Liguilla, like, Renata Huerta just starting and Zaira Moreno in midfield already, like two youngsters who has never played in the Liguilla before. I'm like, wait, Guerra, why now? What are you doing? It's me. Like, at this rate, I would not even be surprised. I highly doubt it, but if he happens to just put those two there at some point, then I'm completely lost to what Guerra's even trying to do with this one. Because, like, it frustrates me every single time to, like, why we're constantly swapping players, like, every one or two games. Irritating more that it's the goalkeeper position. At one point early on, I was discussing with you before how I said that I would like Guerra to give a bunch of goalkeepers that we have on this team time. But then what you mentioned is like you should always have a goalkeeper that's consistently starting every single game unless they're injured. So just if we're doing rotations like this constantly, it's going to throw the complete flow away from this team. It's just going to make the team just confused. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, no, and quick shout out to Jose Sepulveda here for mentioning too much rotation kills the team chemistry. And we're 100% with you on this one, Jose, because it just, it dampers with what the players know already, right? There's a difference, and I talked to this before too on different podcasts, and I've said, you know, a training situation is one thing, but an in-game experience is a whole different thing to take away from. And to play with someone in practice is a lot different than to playing with someone when they're being marked by an opposition, you know? So, I mean, it's just hinging us. It's like shooting ourselves in the foot and being like, okay, well, we'll see what happens this week, right? And that's the real concerning thing about this all, you know? And as Jose has also said, agreed, one or two changes is good. We don't need Osorio part two in America Feminine. You're right. We don't need that whatsoever. But yes, no, shout out to you for making those very good points right there. We don't need that being kind of seeping into the squad. I think the players need to understand who's the starter and who has an important role coming off the bench. And, you know, kind of fluctuating in between there, two or three different positions doesn't hurt. But it's an understanding that you're just a couple of games away from a Liguilla. You can't be messing around with the lineup like this. But we've enough about all this rotation. Let's talk a little bit more about this game that happened against Toluca. Because, I don't know, AJ, I was expecting a much stronger starting 11. But at the same time, it's kind of the best what we have at the moment, right? With injuries, obviously. But it painted for us to even play a very good game. But then right off the get-go, you see that Toluca just scores a very good goal on their part. Very poor defending on our end. But as soon as that goal went in, man, I started worrying. I definitely started worrying because I thought to myself, what is going to go through these players' heads now after going and conceding a goal like that? And my main reaction was to think of other games where we've gone down a goal and how has the players reacted from there. And I go straight to the game against Tigres, right? And I go to the game against Monterrey. And then whilst those were two different, you know, teams and two different games and two different mindsets that were displayed, it still gave off a little bit of a hesitation vibe. I was just like, I don't really understand. What are we going to get from this side? And for a little bit, you know, it looked like heads were being put down, right? But I think we saw a pretty good resilience. It wasn't the best. I think they felt very flustered at times. I think they were trying to do a little bit more. They're playing very rushed at times, not making very good passes, just not good runs. And even the chances that we were getting, they just weren't really putting them on target or even just being dangerous enough to put the ball in the back of the net. Fortunately for us, though, the tying goal comes in the second half, right? Everything kind of just changes for América Femenil in the second half. But that first half, talk to me, AJ, because it was very, very, very frustrating to watch. And trust me, I didn't watch it fully because I would be lying to you. I was trying to actually do my job at work, but I was trying to sneak in a little window down there with América Femenil, just like, what's going on while I'm over here typing? But talk to me a little bit more about this first half.
Yeah, no, it just feels like in the first half, we're just trying to get something going. Like 36 minutes in, it's still 0-0. I'm just kind of warning, why are we struggling once again against a side? Don't get me wrong, Toluca is a good side. They're trying to fight their way to get into the Liguilla. And it's just one of those things I'm just like, warm, like, is it going to be like last season where it takes all until the 8th minute, América commences a silly mistake, and then Toluca scored? That's exactly essentially what happened in the 37th minute. Destiny Duron just throws the ball right into the box. Toluca players are just heading it all the place. América defenders are just completely scattered. The Toluca player just gets a shot and just thunderbolts that into the back. And then I'm just like, I'm just thinking, here we go again. Is this going to be like the exact same way that we did lost to this team last time? Poor defending when it comes to whether a set piece or through or a throw in, and just like we look completely confused, like what just happened. Acuña tries to make the save, but the ball is just going way too fast, and it's just like, yeah, you're gonna have to let that go. And then just defenders and the players just look completely scattered and just confused, like what just happened. All they just see was the ball just enter the back of the net. I'm just like, we really just cannot continue a poor show like this, and considering against, we need to be winning this game, winning games like these, if we're gonna try to solidify our spot into the gear, which that did happen at the very end, but just the first half, it just was really frustrating to see how we were scoring no goals on. I felt like Toluca in this game, they were the ones that were bringing the game to us instead of América bringing the game to them.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing about it, is because I think everyone, it was really below subpar level, right? No one really kind of capped off and said, oh, yes, this is exactly what the level they're at, or exceeded that level by any means necessary. So the fact that I'm telling you this, that everyone played below a subpar level, yet the team was able to manage to scrape a 2-1 victory, kind of makes me want to pose the question of, if this game turned out differently, no, excuse me, if this game would have been played with our players at the level we know they can play, or even above that, this game would have turned out a lot different, right? You're talking about a game that would have been just a much better game in the defense. I mean, credit to Acuña, because she made a really, really big save coming up and making sure that goal, only, it was only one goal against us, not two, because I think if that goal goes in, it's a whole different game. I don't think we climb our way back into this one.
No doubt about it. Just that goal from Cassandra Cuevas, which was a wonderful pass from Daniela Espinosa. I just loved it. It just, when she scored that goal, I'm just like, yes, okay, now let's continue building on from there, which it didn't take until 22 minutes later in the 88th minute, where Cassandra Cuevas decides to return the favor to Daniela Espinosa. Yeah. Gives her a great pass. Dani scores, and I'm like, oh my Lord, like, I love you. Thank you. You just essentially just saved us right there. And from there on, I felt like, okay, I'm confident we got this game in the bag, which towards the end, actually, Toluca almost had a chance where this one Toluca Femini player, she was just kind of just drilling past everyone. I'm like, oh, please, God, no, not now. Yeah, and then
I remember that. It was like close to like the last couple minutes.
I'm like, this cannot be. Do not. No juega con mis sentimientos, por favor. Like, not at this very moment. The defense clears. I'm like, okay, we're good. But it's just, I'm happy that we, like, we show resilience. We were not giving up. We were not going to let Toluca get another goal in, like, in the beginning of the second half or at any point, which is what I like to see. But then I just start thinking, how many times do we need to let the opposition knock on our door and just try to get shots out of shots until we can finally get the opportunity to catch them? It's like one of those things where it's like, we just want to wait to see how much this the opposition can give to us before we can catch them on a break, like when they're like completely distracted or they're just tired. But it's just like, it just scares me because it's like, I feel like this is not the America Femini side that I know from past season, where it's just like from the get-go, it's like we're going to score goals on you left and right. We're showing no mercy. Like when we had Cassandra Cuevas, Lucero Quest, and Daniel Espinosa up front, like that front three, you saw them, they're pretty much guaranteed. It's like, I'm scoring a goal on you, just letting you know that at any given moment, which is what I like to see. But just this time, it takes longer this time. So it's just glad we scored the two goals. Just it took way longer, I feel like, in my opinion, for them to score the goal, to score the goals against Toluca.
Yeah, and I think that has to be due to the fact that these players were playing very below their level, the level that we know that they're expected to play at. But And I promise you guys, we're gonna stop talking about the negative and talk a little bit more about this positive, because it sounds like, wow, you guys are just bashing this team, even though they just managed to get 6 points out of 6 points. But there's reasons to it, right? It's not just because we're trying to be sticklers just for the fun of it. No, it's because these players have shown us more. These players are capable of more, and it's the fact that you're playing for America that we require for it to be more, right? And it's crazy because in any other team, in any other game, in any other, maybe even other league, the expectation wouldn't be so high, right? And kind of the expectations wouldn't be outlandish the way that they are at America, right? At America, you're expected to play at 110% every single game, no questions asked, and you should go out there and respond it because you're playing for America. And sometimes players will have, and it's ridiculous to even think and even ask of that from a person, because it's so hard to keep that level. It's such a consistent pace, but you have to do it when you're playing for America. This is why we're being so kind of hard on these ladies, because we know and we understand that they have the talent to do so and prove it every single time out there. But I do want to talk a little bit about this defense, because it was very, very shaky. And this is the first time, I'm thinking I've ever said this, where I feel like Jocelyn Orejel just had a very, very poor night, right? I think you were talking a little bit to me about some of the stats. Well, I'll let you read out in just a second, but I just didn't see her being her usual self. Like, you know, the usual Jocelyn is getting the ball, bodying players, very physical. I was seeing her getting mugged off by these shorter girls. Like, she'd be like, boom, and then she would just fall over. And I'm just like, get up, please. You're the defender. You can't just fall over and lay on the ground. Like, we need someone there. I just felt that it was, I don't know what all of this kind of wave or energy that just kind of felt on these players, that I felt that they were just kind of being held back a little bit. But the defense, like I mentioned, wasn't as solid as we'd hoped that they would be. I already talked about Jocelyn. You'll give a little bit more stats on that. But I mean, your thoughts on, you know, this team not performing to its level now. I mean, I asked you earlier about the Juarez game. What could have been that? Was it the travel? Was it the time being off? What do you think now is happening in this game against Toluca? And where, again, we're traveling. I mean, it's not that far. I promise you. It's like a 30-minute drive, right, from Mexico to El Estado, where Toluca is at. But what do you think plays a role in this game, AJ? Why did we see such a poor performance from these ladies?
At this rate, I feel like it just has to be fatigue, because seeing like how the final games for America, they're just right there. We have an upcoming game against Querétaro on Monday, and I'm just like, these ladies are not really catching a break. And considering where we're maybe making three or four change, but some of those change are just like in a position where I feel like we have the backup four, but when it comes to the defense, there's not really many options for them. So I feel like this could probably be a factor of fatigue just settling in right for them, because like with Jocelyn, she only had 15 short passes made, 60% on the position, which usually she's either like around the high 80s or even like in the low, like 90% in her precision passing. So I'm just kind of like wondering what just kind of happened. Like, this is not the Jocelyn that I usually see on the pitch, like you mentioned. She's just mugging off players left and right, using her body just to defend the ball, just going up front, like freelancing in the midfield from time, or even wanting to just get a shot on the opposition's goalkeeper. So just like, I'm kind of worrying. And I feel like that's maybe one of the things I could see with this team that's a problem. I feel like we're talking more negatives, which I want to get to the positives soon. But it's just like, we don't really have much coverage in defense. We have to usually play Monica Rodriguez, Anagabi, Jocelyn Rahel, Jimena Rios, like you name, we have to constantly keep playing these defenders, and I feel like they're just not going to catch a break. And then with that, it could result in injury, which is exactly what happened. Monica Rodriguez did happen to get injured in his match, along with Selena Valera, so it's just like, that's really worse. God. I should have mentioned that in the news in Coapa. Well, now you know what happened in this game, so not even in trains. It's just like, oh, we're losing like more defenders. And they're saying they need to figure out what the seriousness of these injuries are. And I'm just like,
I think it just might be muscle fatigue.
It could just be that. Like, they're just training them with the games you're just having right there. You just have one on Monday. Now you have one on Thursday. It's like you're not catching a break at all. And then can say when you need to put the same defenders again, because you're looking at the bench, I'm like, there's not many options. Alexa Santos, I'm pretty sure she's recovering back from surgery. Wendy Morales, I have no clue what she's even doing. Last thing I saw on Instagram, she was just posting a picture unrelated to America Feminina. I'm like, are you ever going to play? I'm curious. Like, we have to then put Selena Valera, who's usually a pure center back, as a left back. And I'm kind of like, why? Why are we doing this to ourselves? Like, she's not comfortable in that position. As a right back where she's played before, yeah, she could play there just fine. Just there. I'm like, yeah, no. Guay, I'm sorry. Like, stop that. Just don't frustrate me more than I am already. Like, the crazy thing is we won this game, but it's just the thing. It's like, I love this team a lot. Just, I'm kind of not satisfied in the way that, like, we're, like, winning these games, where I'm just, like, the opposition, who I feel like we should be decimating, is just bringing the game to a scoring goal right on us. I'm like, not like this, please. No, I can't. Just, I don't know, man. It's frustrating. It's just frustrating.
You sound very defeated, AJ. Don't worry, my friend. Let me tell you that it's going to turn around. It has to turn around. And I'll tell you why it's going to turn around. It's because I think that whilst we kind of focused our ship or shifted our attention a lot on kind of being nitpicky about all of these kind of negative perspectives, there are positive stuff to take away from this too, AJ. And we talked about the individual brilliances that were able to capitalize and kind of bail us out of these situations. At least we have that to grow on. At least we know that in dire moments that there are players willing to step up and make the plays that need to be made, right? We talked about Dani Espinosa, how crucial she has been this season, how crucial she will continue to be for us. And I think we have to grow on that. The fact that I think these ladies know they weren't having the best of games, and yet they had the resilience to go out there and perform and still find a way to claw the game back into our favor. That's also a good positive to take away from this, right? The players that are coming off the bench and making their way back into the starting 11. You're talking about Montserrat Hernandez, who was able to feature yet again. Again, didn't have the best of games because I don't think she had enough time out on the pitch to do so, but still positive for her coming back. And I mean, there's little things to talk about, right? Acuña, very, very good goalkeeper to have as your third string, right? So, I mean, little positives to take away from here and there and to build on. We mentioned that, you know, we have Querétaro up next, which we will preview in just a moment. But I think that's another one of those games where you're like, okay, if we finally have all the pieces that we need to put back together, then this team is going to start looking better. And if the ladies can grow, and this is really crucial, this is not on the training staff, this is on the players themselves. If the players can take away from this mentally and say, we had a poor night in Juarez, we had a poor night in Toluca, we need to fix it and we need to revamp ourselves and we need to have a much better game against Querétaro. Because right after that, you have the Clásico. And that's a whole different ball game. And after that, you have Pachuca, which let's face it, AJ, that's no easy team whatsoever either. And then you're done with the regular season and you got to start thinking about the playoffs. So we know how important it is to start getting a little bit streaky here and starting getting to kind of some momentum and trying to gain a little bit more of that confidence, because that's what all this playoff is really, is just a confidence-based playoff series, that the team that plays better, the team that feels it, that wants it more, is a team that usually 9 times out of 10 is going to come out and win this whole thing. So I think the ladies have to focus on that, get the results under the belt, kind of start shifting that mentality and that attitude and saying, okay, we had a poor night, but we're fixing it. We're doing it better. And we grow, we're going to take what we can. We're going to grow from the, we're going to grow from the positive stuff. And then we're going to kind of just build on and hopefully fix the negative stuff. And I do hope that's the case, right? And we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, no doubt about it. That's the thing I really love about this team. Like, despite what we do have show some poor showings, like in games, just it's the resilience that we have, which is, it's going to be huge when you're coming to the new year, because you need all the comps you can get. I just like that how we can, either the opposition could be outperforming us or they get a goal. We just don't give up. We're like, we're going to go in there back when a fight. We're not going down just yet. The game isn't over until the final whistles being blown, which is why I like to see it. So it's just seeing how the resilience in this team, despite what the injuries that we have and anything that could come to our path unexpected. I just love the how this team, it's like, we can work, we can still work with this. Like, if one of our best players is gone and we have to like shift our play style slightly, it's like, we're going to go with this. Maybe that's the thing that I can maybe give Okoyara, as much as he does frustrate fans. Maybe he's trying to do things like this. It's like, okay, we're missing so-and-so players on our side due to injuries. I'm going to put these players in their usual positions, and we're going to see what I can do from here. It's pretty much like putting the puzzle pieces together. It's like, okay, this is where we're going to work with this game. And I feel like with time to time, he does stop and improve, despite us criticizing him a lot and some of the players. He still gets the job done at the end of the day and gets the results that we need. 3 points, 3 points. You can't complain about that. It's one of those instances where it's like, you can't really complain. 3 points is 3 points. You're like, I'm not going to even question it. If we got it throughout a lucky rebound or just a crazy goal, it's like, I'm taking it. I cannot say anything more from there. It's like, okay, you shutted me up. You got the win for us. All right, let's move on to the next game.
And it might just have to be that for the next couple of games, AJ. It might just have to be that for the next couple of games. But I mean, at the end of the day, these ladies walk away with all 3 points. I mentioned how crucial this was because obviously it secured our spot in the playoffs. So we have a ticket into the Liga, which I know some teams are very much still looking for that. So at least the team can rest easily knowing that at least we'll be in the playoffs. Where we finish in the table, well, that's going to be up to them because there's still 9 crucial points left up. And I mean, a lot of things can happen in Liga MX Feminine. We know one thing's for sure, though. You know, we hold our own fate in our own hands. So it's not like we can sit here and complain about anything afterwards, because at the end of the day, we're in the passenger seat. We're in the driver's seat, not in the passenger seat. And so now we just got to take it by the throat and just say, okay, here we go. Here's our chance and let's finish off strong. So with that said, AJ, America wins 2-1 against Toluca. Not the best of game, as we just recapped, but still 3 very important points. Anything else to add on?
Nope. I think we covered it all for this match.
Pretty much covered all right there and then. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on into the preview against Querétaro. Before we do that, I do want to remind you guys that today's episode is brought to you guys by Footcult. If you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go check out Footcult and all their latest gear and some of the great products that they have going on out there. I mean, you're looking at one of the exclusive shirts that you guys can find over there here with the Eagle Eye Podcast. If you guys haven't done so, check them out. Use discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. Again, use discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. And make sure you guys check out Footcult. Thank you again to our sponsors for making this a possibility. And AJ, we're ready to talk more America Feminine?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Well, beforehand, let's talk a little bit about the news in Coapa. You just mentioned, AJ, we potentially have 2 players out due to injury. Fingers crossed that it's not a serious, serious injury and they'll be back. Well, this is really fingers crossed for the Querétaro game. Talk to me more about what's going on with those injuries. What's going on with some of the injured players that potentially could be coming back, and any other news regarding América Femenil.
So, yeah, no. In the game against the Luca Feminine, Monica Rodriguez did come out injured, which that's definitely not good because that's arguably our best right back in his team. And I would arguably even say one of the best right backs in this league. And Serena Varela also got injured after colliding with the Luca Feminine player. Guerra has then mentioned that they're not going to be probably present against the game against the Querétaro. So he's going to have to see what the results are going to be for those injuries and hoping that it's not nothing too serious. But then it then worries at the same time, like, if it does become a serious injury, I'm like, okay, so who's going to be playing these positions then? But, yeah, and then so I'm going to let them with the injured players. I mean, Montserrat Hernandez, she's playing more now after coming back from injury, which is good to see. Guerra has talked about that how in the game against FC Juarez, she's only played about 20-something minutes or so. But then in this game against the Luca, she happened to play 45 minutes, which is an improvement from the game from the minutes she played against FC Juarez. So hopefully, then by this next game, she'll probably be able to play more. And if not, considering that the game is on Monday, we have some time to rest. Perhaps she could potentially be starting for the match against Querétaro Femenil.
All right, interesting stuff going on in America. And quick news in regards to Jen Munoz, because I know a lot of people are questioning when she's going to be returning. Cuellar has said that, they're going to be taking her cast off on Monday. So we'll see what happens there. Although it's a bit of an interesting news here. I saw that cast off yesterday. Interesting. I probably read into Cuellar's stuff wrong, but we'll see. Also, just quick shout out to our very good friend, Ms. Jen Munoz, who had a 24th. I'm sorry, Jen, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry for getting that wrong. But 24th birthday. Happy birthday to our friend, Ms. Jennifer Munoz. She unfortunately is injured, but it looks like she's going to be back any minute now. We do want to wish her a very, very happy birthday. Late birthday at that, but hopefully she had and enjoyed her day. So, AJ, you ready to talk America versus Querétaro?
I'm ready.
Okay, well, let's finish off the podcast by previewing what will be most likely another very difficult, frustrating game to watch as an America Familia fan, because we know that with all these injuries piling up, with kind of these poor performances kind of just been staggering on top of each other, I mean, how do you see this game coming in for America Femenil? Again, it's another quick turnaround. We just played today on Thursday. Then we have to go 3 days later and then play again against Querétaro. I mean, fortunately for us, this is a home game, which doesn't have to include any traveling. But, I mean, just a lot of heavy rotation that I'm guessing is going to be made for this one as well. I mean, first of all, your thoughts on this game against Querétaro. And two, your predicted lineup for this game as well.
Ooh, it's a pretty scary game, actually, because Querétaro are undefeated in 6 matches, which I'm now looking at. That's really impressive because they just topped the most points that they ever had in their club's history with 24 points, right, which can be said thanks to the manager of Querétaro Femenil, which is Carla Rossi, which I give props to her. She pretty much came from Tijuana Femenil, come into this side and pretty much improve them as a whole, which I'm really impressed with. But just then also seeing that how they defeated teams such as Necaxa, Pachuca, Toluca, Santos Laguna, León, and tied up against Rayados. So looking at that record so far and just being undefeated in 6 matches, that does worry me slightly. So this team is no pushover because they're currently just sitting in 7th place. And they're trying to make a push into the game, which I feel like we're most likely going to be seeing. And so it's a game that America fan really going to need to be careful considering with the injuries that we also do have. It's something going to have to make you think about. It's like we need to put in the best lineup I feel like we could possibly have despite the injuries, but it's also just be wary of how Querétaro are going to play considering they do have a couple surprises underneath on their sleeves with some former America Femenil players that have been performing well for them this season, and their striker and Lisette Rodriguez, who ever since arriving from Morelia, she's been lifting this team. She's been carrying this team along with their other teammates. So just this team by no means is no pushover.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think that we're going to have to come in with as strong of a squad as possible because Querétaro side is definitely going to prove to be a challenge, especially with quite the streak that they have going on. 6 undefeated matches, that's something definitely to worry about. But at the end of the day, though, we're América, we have the better squad, and at the end of the day, we should be able to walk away with all 3 points. AJ, we know how crucial momentum is coming into the Liguilla. It has to start here against Querétaro. And in order to do that, you said we have to field our best on 11. For you, what is that?
All right, so look at the roster now. My goalkeeper is going to be Renata Mascherelli starting for us at goalkeeper. Our 2 center backs is going to be Anagabi and Justin Orehead. Left back, believe it or not, I'm going to have Hannah Gutierrez, because considering if Salina is injured, then so be it. I feel we're going to have to put Hannah there. I'll then have as our right back. I'll consider maybe going with. It's difficult even just to think about, because I'm looking at it. I'm like, we don't really actually have a right back that could fill in that spot. So I guess if anything, Marcela Valera, perhaps, or maybe we got to shift maybe Anagabi to the right back position. So I got those are 4 defenders in midfield. I'm gonna be having Eva Gonzalez, Cascuevas, Montse Hernandez, and I'm going to be having Jenny Gonzalez as well starting for this match. And then I'm going to finish out with Marlene Campa and Daniela Espinosa up front.
Okay, interesting. I do like this formation because I do feel like it's a very good squad, and you have some very good offensive players as well. Giving Jenny the start, I like it. I like to see that. And I mean, she definitely needs to get this chip off her shoulder, right? So, I mean, a good game against Querétaro, maybe a goal, maybe an assist. I definitely would definitely bring her back from this kind of little, this little rut that she's kind of been in with these past previous games. And, you know, we really do hope that she gets to, you know, play a much better game because of it. So, we'll have to wait and see. But yes, very good start in 11, AJ. I like it. And hopefully it is what Cuellar feels. But we do know he likes to tinker a lot. And we'll see what that Russian roulette spinning wheel has. You never know. You never know. But we'll say this, though, AJ. Would you consider a new formation seen with the injuries that we have? I know you mentioned that we don't really have natural fullbacks. Would you consider maybe this is very Italian here, but like a 3-5-2 formation, maybe?
I could see it, because that's why the defense was a bit sloppy when I said, because I'm like, I was just looking at the roster and I'm like, we don't have a right back. And then Valera is kind of like the only option left, but she's also injured. I'm just like, we don't have anyone, because I'm looking at Scarlett Lopez, which I don't even think she's even debuted yet, the youngster at all. Or I see her in training, but I don't think she's ever been called to the team yet for a bench or anything like that. Elisa Santos, she's coming back from surgery. And honestly, I think she's a center back or could play as a fullback. And then Wendy Moraes, I just don't ever know if she'll start. So it's just confusing. But like 3-5-2, I mean, I could see it working in a way, because you can have Marcela Valera, Jocelyn, and Anagabi as your 3 center backs, because Marcela, she's originally a center back who can shift into the center defensive midfielder role if you do want her to. Eva Gonzalez is a solid center defensive midfielder, which I'm happy to see how she's come from the United States playing college soccer to just immediately get herself into this team, especially after Vero Perez has injured herself, who just are starting center defensive mid. So there's that. And I mean, you could have Zuma Hernandez also playing, because she does get a couple of playing time here and there, though she hasn't been in the best of form since recovering from the fractured nose injury. But you could do something like that and have her in the center defensive midfielder spot. You could then have Cassandra Cuevas as your center attacking mid, which that's the position she's been playing ever since she did arrive back from América Femenina. And then when we think about our midfielders, yeah, you can have Monza on the left, and on the right, if you really choose so, you have Hannah Gutierrez or Jenny Gonzalez playing right there. And then from your forwards there on, you got options. Daria Molina,
yeah.
Dani Espinosa, Marlene Campa, heck, even the youngster Renata Huerta, if you want to give her the chance. So, like, now that you mention that, that could maybe be something we could see América Femenil possibly play.
Let's hope that they do. We're gonna send a very strongly worded email to Cuellar and saying, look, you need to play the 3-5-2 formation. We don't know how it's gonna end up at the end of the day, but hey, in our minds at least, it would make sense to do it. But hey, if that was the case, then anyone would be able to be a manager, right? So I mean, we'll see. We'll definitely see. But trust me, we'll be ready to criticize it come next Thursday if it doesn't work. And if it does, then we'll praise it and we'll say that it was our idea. But yeah, no. So aside from formation, tactically speaking, how do you think the ladies have to come out here and play their game? I think from my perspective, I you just have to take the game to them, right? You have to just completely go out there and score an early goal. I think if you score an early goal, I don't necessarily think the floodgates are going to open, because I think this is a Querétaro side that has shown resilience and that will definitely come out and try to play very organized. They will try to do the things right. They will try to close out spaces. But if you're able to get that early goal, it does force them to kind of open up a little bit. I don't think they're going to be reckless in that sense and just completely give you spaces. But if you get that early goal, then I think you can go on and manage the game from there. Get Querétaro in a very uncomfortable position. Maybe try to find other spaces in where your forwards can capitalize, and then see, can you score a second and maybe even a third? And we'll talk about, you know, how that result might end up faring for you. But for me, the game has to be taken to them.
Oh, yes, no doubt about it, because I feel we cannot have similar performance like we had against FC Juarez and Toluca, because if we perform the same way like that, Querétaro are definitely going to punish us and get themselves a goal early on, which we definitely don't want to see. I don't want to become another thing where we're down a goal or two and we need to fight our way back, which we got the resilience for that. But it's one of those things, like, I kind of don't want any more scares at this point. We need to take the game to them. Get the early goal. We can get that early goal. The floodgates will open. Not to say I feel like this Querétaro side is not going to be easy to score on, even though despite our previous encounters with them, we've won two times and we have scored, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was a total of 9 goals. But like, this Querétaro side is a completely different side that we have seen from previous seasons. So it's one of those things, it's like, let's get a goal, and from there on, let's try to build into a second goal. From there on, I feel like it's just going to be continue. Just try to keep scoring goals as much as can. Any opportunity we can get, take those chances and go for a shot. Whether it may not be the greatest shot, but do that. That can give them a bit of a scare, because then at that point, you're going to frustrate the defense or even make the goalkeeper frustrated, telling her defense to, like, wake up. We should not be letting them get shots like that. So I feel like you mentioned, Ivan, bring this game to them from the get-go. Let's not wait. From the very first, as soon as that whistle's blown and the ball is rolling, start attacking immediately.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think the defense has to play a very huge role in this one as well. Keep it as tight as possible. And regardless whether we play 4 at the back or 3 at the back, I think at the end of the day, they just have to go out there, play their game, and completely boss out. And hopefully keep the Querétaro side at bay. All right, AJ, talk to me about your prediction about this game on Monday.
For my scoreline, I got a 2-1 victory going for América.
2-1 victory. I'm going with I'm be very adventurous here, AJ. I'm going 3-1. 3-1 America. I think if you get that early goal, you're talking about maybe grabbing another one before halftime, and then maybe you get a third one in transition. I don't know. I just see kind of these options available for the ladies. If they go out, if they want it, the game's there for them. If they truly want it, the game is truly just there for them. But you guys can catch this game on Monday. What time, AJ?
It's going to be at 4:45 p.m. EST.
4:45 EST, so that's 4:45 Eastern time. That is going to be 1:45 Pacific time, and that is going to be 2:45 Central time. And you guys can catch that game on where, AJ? Is it going to be on TUDN, or is it going to be on Facebook again?
Yes, it'll be on TUDN, and I'm considering it is Monday night. It's a Monday. I was going to say Monday night, but consider it's kind of like Monday night. You're more than likely be able to catch the game in United States on TV. If not, you can also catch it on TUDN USA on Facebook to watch the game live.
There you guys have it. And if you guys, for whatever reason, cannot stay tuned with that game, make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter at EY Podcast, and you guys will be hearing all the latest feed on that, as AJ has you guys covered on that game on Monday as well. All right, AJ, anything to add on before we wrap up the show?
Nope. Think that's it. I think we covered it all.
Definitely did. Alrighty then. Well, we've pretty much wrapped it up here. We're going to be back on next Thursday, and we have a big show planned for you guys as we have the Clásico, the Clásico Nacional, which is going to be waiting upon us, AJ. So we have a big, big episode ahead for you guys as well. We're going to have a very good special guest coming on as well. So hopefully you guys are excited for that. And yeah, really, really excited to see what happens from then. Actually, all right, then, AJ. Yes.
I do actually have it. Okay, so they say a letter. Well, here's a draft of the letter. So I'm wondering if you could read that. So Guerra, please play this formation 3-5-2, and these are the players that we're going to be starring. So please, Guerra, if you are seeing this, or hey, any América Femenil player, yo, tell this to your manager, please. Maybe it can work.
AJ, I am like, I feel like I'm 40 years younger than Cuellar, and I could still not see that. So I'm worried for Cuellar. Then again, my eyesight is the same of a 40-year-old. So we'll have to wait and see. But all right, then. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed this episode, and we'll be back next week to talk things all América Femenil. Like we mentioned, the Clásico Nacional is right upon us. And AJ, we have a big one coming up next week. So thank you again, my man. Take care. Have a great night. We'll talk to you very, very soon. I know we have a game to cover tomorrow as well for the men's side. So a lot of America stuff going on. Never a days off here at the Eagle Eye Podcast. But hopefully you guys have enjoyed. If you guys haven't done so already, follow us over on Instagram and Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. Make sure you guys follow the podcast wherever it is that you may listen to us, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever it is that you listen. Thank you so much. And again, we'll talk to you guys very, very soon. Stay safe. Wear your masks. And as always, Arriba America. Good night, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.